Steve Rossich is the Fremantle CEO, and indeed a little bit more than that at the moment. Good morning to you, Steve.
G'day, Clint. How are you going? Good to speak to you. Nice to chat to you outside of the airports that I've seen you at throughout the season.
Yeah, that's generally where we tend to catch up. How many hats are you wearing down at the Dockers at the moment, Steve?
Well, CEO, and you know, that's
a fairly big one.
I'm delighted to continue in, and that's the focus. But temporarily, you know, looking after some of the strategic stuff around our list management with Brad Lloyd's recent poaching by Carlton. So that's only temporary, and looking forward to progressing from a shortlist in that role to the best candidate and getting that done relatively quickly.
So, asking you as the CEO of the football club, do you give season 2018, considering where you started and everything that you were hoping for, and indeed the number of players that you gave an opportunity to in the AFL, do you give 2018 a tick or a cross?
I think it's not that black and white, Clinton. I'm sure most of your listeners would agree, and experts like yourself. So we've managed to win in 16 games over the last two seasons, after a very strategic decision to prune the list back and get as many new and young players into the club as possible over that period, and including, you know, four top 10 picks over three drafts, and the fourth one of those will come through the door in November. And some might say, given the large number of players turned over, equal most with Carlton in that period with 22, that 16 games is about right. Some would say that's quite a good result, and some would say it's not good enough. All I know is we want to win more games and we want to keep improving. And I like, you know, being involved in a football club, and I'm sure our fans do, that's playing at this time of year. So that's our focus, to get back to playing finals football. And we've got a plan to do that, and we're working on it and to it really diligently and obviously with a high degree of focus.
Is Lachie Neale part of that plan?
Absolutely. He's a fine young man. He's contracted to next season. He's a durable player, part of our leadership group, well-liked, contributing strongly to our club on and off the field. I caught up with Lachie yesterday, personally, given recent media reports, which is, you know, in the modern world, par for the course at this time of year now, and very positive about Lachie being at our club long-term.
Steve, Mark Duffield, are you likely to have to revisit Lockie's contract ahead of time to make sure he's still at the club beyond 2019?
Short answer is yes, and that was always the intent. So sitting down with his manager, Tim Lawrence, and saying, OK, how can we... I know he's contracted to the end of next year. It's always been the intent to look at it now in the off-season. How, you know, what does it look like, an extension to you and to Lockie, and how can we make that happen? So that's where the focus is now. Lockie's in his mid-20s. As I said, fine young man, strong contributor on and off the field. You know, the norm is for players of that age demographic to look at what is their long-term position, and as I said, very comfortable that's at our football club.
I suppose a lot of our focus has been on what's been traded into the club, and there's been some good results and some bad results with that. Obviously, you've picked up guys like Nathan Wilson and Joel Hamling and Brad Hill, who've been strong contributors, and then Harley Bennell hasn't been able to get out there, and Cam McCarthy probably hasn't been able to play as well as you would like. But has the club changed its leadership profile, and not necessarily for the better, with what it's traded out? You know, and I'm talking about guys like Matt DeBoer, even people like Alex Silvani and Gary Hibbertson and Tendai Mazungu, who were good preparers, strong contributors, experienced bodies. Do you need to put some more experience and some more leadership around people like Lachie Neale to make him feel more comfortable, do you think?
It's a really good question. I mean, the upside of you know, reinvigorating our list, you know, aggressively, which we start at the end of 16 with those 22 new players, is and the focus of them being in a very young age demographic, either 18 and 19 year olds through the draft or rookie draft, or, you know, traded in players around about 22 sort of average years of age, as you change your list makeup and quite understandably to make that happen, and that's a positive. But the challenge to that is you have to make spots on your list available. We said at the time, many of those are fine young men, and you've mentioned a number of them, some of whom have continued to a degree, you know, AFL football. You know, Michael Barlow's another one. They're tough decisions, but they were felt to be the right ones for the long term, but they do provide short-term challenges, which I think you're fair to state, and that's the case. So we're conscious of that now. How do we want to get our fourth top 10 pick in 3 years through the door in November, and we will. At the moment, that's pick five. It might end up pick six, and that's going to be super for us, as always our plan. And then how can we add just some, you know, some people that can come into our football club and play in our best 22 and contribute on the field and off the field and change that profile, as you mentioned. I think it's a fair question and comment.
And the other thing is, I guess, if there's a little bit of a temporary shortage in leadership on field, do you need a better spread of leadership off the field? Would you like another strong figure in your coaching team alongside Ross Lyon? From the outside, it looks like Ross Lyon at the moment is very much the dominant figure on the coaching panel, perhaps more dominant than he's been at any stage during his tenure at Fremantle.
I don't agree with the last part. That's not the case. You know, Matt Fife said himself, I think, in an interview last week, how Ross has evolved and certainly very different in his approach from the period where we were knocking on the door of grand finals in 2013 to 2015. And that has included a very collaborative approach with our coaching team, and we see that firsthand. I mean, your senior coach has to lead, and the best ones do. Your Alistair Clarksons, your John Longmires, etc. But he has a very collegiate approach with his coaching team, and that has evolved. You know, we're going through a process of review. At the moment, it's focused on medical, but then it turns to, you know, other operational aspects. How can we continue to grow and improve in those areas? But he has a very collegiate approach, and that's certainly growing and improving all the time.
Steve Rossich is our special guest on Sports Talk, ABC Radio Perth and WA, 21 minutes to midday. You mentioned Nat Fyfe's press conference last week, and I thought he spoke really well for the football club. But one thing we did talk about last week as well, I raised my eyes when he said he had no issue with the skills being shown at the moment by the footy club. As the CEO, do you agree with the standard of skills that Nat Fyfe sees out there, or do you think that that is an area that the Dockers are lacking in?
I think it's an area we can continue to improve in. There was an enhanced focus on it this season with the program overseen by a coaching and footy ops team and fitness team to get extra elements of skill in there, because we've got a young group and you need to, you know, continue to enhance the basics of the game. And so that has been a focus, and I think it can improve. I think it's a common answer by coaches and players to say they're fine and positive about it, and that's their right to say that, and that's probably the desired answer for them to give. But from a football club perspective, there's no doubt we can improve it, and it is a focus.
Morning, Steve. Shane Woden. You spoke about the review, and I think a week into it, post-season, and you've concentrated on the medical side of things so far in the high-performance area. What's been the outcomes of that, particularly with a large soft tissue injuries this year for the group? And where's the first lodgement cull to be made? And that will be in the next week or two.
Couple of questions there, Wally. Firstly, on the list side of things, the play exits were held at the start of the week, which is customary, and any players not contracted for next year were told that those decisions haven't been finalised yet, and that is absolutely the case. We need to work through how the draft is looking, how many picks we'll have, what looks like coming in through the door from other football clubs, and how that balances up our list before we finalise those calls, and including the question that Duff raised, you know, not just the, you know, how the list is looking from a positional and you know, on-field capability, but how it looks off-field and what people bring to the football club. So all those things will be worked through, and no decisions made yet. Most likely some of those before trade period and some of them post-trade period, so that'll take some time, and appreciate that's a tricky time of year for some players, and we support them through that. With respect to, you know, reviews, too early to say yet, but anecdotally, you know, with a young group, it was more challenging for us once our injury rate was at the level it was, particularly in the back half of the year after the bye. And I think anecdotally, we had, too many injuries and too many preventable soft tissue injuries after the bye, and that's impacted the team we've been able to put on the park and impacted, no doubt, the variability of performance. So the work's been done to drill down about, well, why? Because it's all well and good to just look at stats. It's more about why and what do we do about it. And we've got a track record of using also people from outside to look at specific areas, and that'll take place as well.
Steve, a lot of people will look at your role as CEO and the fact that you're doing the list management at the moment. I guess, can you explain to us your experience in list management, and also will you still be in place in that role come the draft and trade period, or do you hope to have a new list manager in place by that time?
The last part of your question first. We're at shortlist stage and very keen to make that a preferred candidate as soon as possible, and then it'll be dependent on, where that preferred candidate is, on how quickly we can get them in. So that's certainly the preferred situation. The reality is, with list management, the work gets done during the year. So Brad Lloyd headed it up previously before his elevation to head of football at Carlton. So that work was done through May and July. So we've got a very clear picture of where we're at and what we're trying to achieve. And that's also done through a football subcommittee. So lots of people involved. And David Walls is the head of our recruiting. He has been for the last few seasons, and he's really driving that effort on the draft. So not a lot changes. The only thing that does change in the short term is a few more conversations that I'm having directly with player managers to either get deals done or explore new opportunities. So that's something I did in my past life before I was CEO, so something I'm familiar with, and I work closely with Brad Lloyd, so it's not foreign to me, but it is only a short-term situation.
And a couple of things that fans, I think, would like you to answer. Why the contract extension for Hayden Ballantyne, and have the Bennell and McCarthy trades been busts for you?
Well, on Hayden, I think it comes back to your question, Duff. Beat Clint and Shane for the best question of the interview. On the balance of the list and leadership and what people bring, and that's the basis of the decision for re-signings of people like Aaron and Hayden. It's not just what they bring on the field, it's what they bring off the field and the demographic of the list. And they can still contribute on the field. I think you saw in the last game when we got some better supply to the forward line, some better ball movement, it showed Hayden can be a dangerous player. So on field he can contribute, albeit he's had somewhat up and down year, and he absolutely contributes off the field. So that's the balance of decision that you make, and we feel as though we'll make a number of list changes again, but it won't be the level of we've had the last 2 years, because it's about now stabilising and continuing to add and grow, but with not as many young bodies. So he's important to develop on those young players. So that's that component. And I forgot what the second part of the question was.
Bennell and McCarthy.
Look, they've got an opportunity with our football club to be, they're talented players. And young men whom haven't got the best out of themselves to date. Some of it's due to injury, some due to form. And so there's an opportunity then for them to improve next year, and they have to. That's what our plan is, and they'll work really hard with our football staff off-season to make sure they set up their year, and that's the focus.
Can Cam McCarthy get fitter? There's been a lot of observation that he looks like he could lose a couple of kilos.
I think there can be more continuity of training from what I've heard from our key football staff, and then the opportunity to get up and back a lot more, defend and tackle. I think our coaching team has supported him really strongly, and he's no doubt a better player when there's other tools that are growing and developing around him. I think he's a better player when you saw in the games when Cabanar and Cox were in good form, all of a sudden he started to contribute more significantly. So there's a bit about team makeup, and there's a bit about physically preparing for the year ahead, and our hope is that he takes that by the scruff of the neck and does that this year.
And the Adam Chera contract, I think, is critical and pivotal to the whole rebuild. How do you approach that, and how optimistic are you that you get his signature either over summer or early next season so that it doesn't linger as an issue going into well into next year?
Well, we don't worry about things lingering if that's the time frame that player's set. Adam's not only just a fine footballer who we picked up in the draft this year at pick five, but a fine young man. And he stuck to his word that he said day one when he was drafted that he'd look at a contract extension at the end of the season. So at the right time, whether it's me in this interim period or a new list manager, will sit down with Rob D'Orazio, his manager, and look at extending Adam. We think he and as a a player that has a great career ahead of him, can contribute to our club, and we think we can be a really good place for him as well. So it sits positively, and looking forward to sitting down and nutting that out with Rob D'Orazio.
Steve, question which was raised from a story that our afternoon show did in terms of a number of your supporters, your members, are facing a bit of a price hike in terms of their seats. With the on-field performances that you had this year, I was sort of thinking maybe the club might reward the faith of its supporters and ensure that no season ticket holder would pay more for its current seat next year. Can you explain the reasons why there are a number of your long-term members that are going to have to pay more next year?
So we have absolutely stabilised our prices. We haven't announced that yet, but next season, the vast majority of members will have no increase in price on 2000 and their 18 prices for season 2019. And that's a significant result given that we provided more affordable seats at Optus than we had at Domain. It was just over 8,000 seats at Optus were more affordable than the cheapest seats that we had available at Domain. So we think that's a great result. There have been a small number, around about 300, that have been reclassified in terms of the category. And with that comes a proposed price change. Our membership team has been contacting those people to make them aware of that in advance, to give them the chance to change seats to, or indeed retain those seats for next season, but also the opportunity to move seats to the same price point. So they wanted to do it in that way, and I think that's been understood by members rather than just receiving an email or letter. They've been personally contacted. Conversely, there's over 1,500 members who will have their seats change in category and receive a cheaper price. We're not envisaging too many problems with that group, obviously.
Steve, I saw a recent stat that it was basically attendance figures at games when a team was playing a team from another state. And in that ladder, I think West Coast are top and you are fourth. It says a lot about how strong the brand is, the AFL brand is in WA, and also what might be possible for you if you get back into finals contention and put a stronger team out there, doesn't it? I think it was West Coast 1, Adelaide 2, Richmond 3, and yourselves 4th.
That's right. People forget that, where, the average crowd we had this year is actually around about the capacity of Domain Stadium, which is incredible when you think about it in that context to prior years. And about the level we expected in our first year at Optus, and where we're at, and we had an 8-win season. Pleasingly for those people that watch us at Optus, 7 of those came at home. But we think we can improve that, and we can improve our crowd number. There's that great opportunity at Optus with the facility there, but also the capacity. And you're right, we think we can go from fourth on that ladder that you've mentioned up to third, up to the second, and ideally challenge West Coast.
I'm going to play devil's advocate again here, Stephen, just a follow-up question to previous. But if you've had that sort of success in terms of people coming and being prepared to pay big dollars, and they do, to come and watch you play, why would you need to reclassify any of your seats, any of your blocks in the first place?
Well, the reclassification, rather than price, is a long-term situation, Clint. So you're looking to set your stadium up, in the right manner for the long term. And the sort of seats you're referring to are the Cat 3, Cat 4 category. Interestingly, when you look at the AFL map for finals, they're classified as Category 1. So they're still good seats, but we're seeing them at a few levels down, and we want to get those categories right for the long term, and those the members that choose them, it's their right price point, it's their right sort of seat they're looking for, and we got it pretty right with the transition to Optus, given that we didn't really get a chance to sit in it all that much and see it and how it lived and breathed as a stadium. So there's only a very small number affected, and our team will work through that diligently with those members.
Would you operate at a profit this year, Steve?
Yes, yes, that's the situation. And look, there's a big subject too there. We're still working through a negotiation with the Football Commission on our royalty amount, and based on how we see that going, yes, we'll be a profitable football club, and that's despite, you know, significant investments in our community programs, in our football program, in our membership program, and in our AFLW. And it's interesting to see, you know, it's a cost which only 8 clubs have around the competition now. There'll be 10 shortly, but that's over a $600,000 investment that you make into that competition for good reason. That challenges you to allocate your resources to that sort of activity and remain profitable, but we've been able to do that.
We give you a lot of whack, Steve, but one thing I do want to say to you on the phone is what you do game day is outstanding. So everyone involved in your game day stuff, and particularly the Len Hall Memorial Game, which we know has been around for a long time, but it is terrific and top-notch. So to everyone involved in that, for all the whacks you get in terms of all the other issues going around the place, a huge rap for your people who do the game day stuff.
Thanks, Clint. It's a focus. It's not just about going to the football these days, albeit that's clearly the number one focus. It's providing an environment and experience which goes beyond it. It is something we invested in heavily, and there has been terrific feedback. And it's always interesting to go to games around the country and see other venues and other teams, how they operate it, and I think we sit comfortably in the top echelon in that regard, and we'll look to continue to be that as well in the future.
And keep the banner. Sorry, I'm just cutting you. Keep the banner. We love the banner. Sorry, Shane.
That's all right. Steve.
We do. I think our cheer squad put that on the banner one of the later rounds.
They did.
Think, so.
Good part of tradition, isn't it, Clint?
Yeah.
Steve, only a short time being in the new facility at Cockburn. From a whole club perspective, admin, football staff, medical, has it been a real positive entirely, and has there been any glitches along the way?
It's been fabulous, Shane, and it's housing our staff, it's housing our AFL team, our AFLW team, and has lights now to enable them to train. It interfaces with the community. We get 1.6, 1.7 million people through the facility a year, which is great for our club and our brand, and we're running the retail operation out there, not just with our store, but also the swimming and athletic wear. So it's been fantastic. It'll continue to help us attract and retain staff and players, and it's a 50-year project. It's easily the best facility in the country. We're proud of it, and you know, when you add that top to the stadium, we've got some great foundations. So we've ticked those boxes, absolutely.
Will this be the toughest year of this rebuild, Steve, do you think? You were, as Ross has pointed out a few times, younger this year than you were last year. You're probably going to be a little bit older next year. So is this ground zero for this rebuild, do you think?
Certainly hope so. I love the fact that we're committed to a longer-term plan and getting back to playing finals football, and we've been very strategic in that approach and committed to it. But, you know, you, myself, others, that our members and supporters that go to the footy, when you go to Optus Stadium and ball bounces at 2:40 and you want to see your team win, that's how it works. That's sport. So we think we're giving ourselves a greater chance to win more games in the future. So I'd like to think the answer to your question is yes. That'll play out now with respect to, you know, draft and trade and free agency and then a pre-season. And that's when teams win, you know, set the base for winning their football games November through March. So if we can have a good November through March, I think we can improve on our average of 8 wins over the last couple of years. That's certainly the intent.
Appreciate your time this morning, Steve. Really good of you to spend some time with us on Sports Talk. Best of luck for what I'm sure will be a busy couple of weeks for you, and we look forward to chatting again in 2019.
Cheers, gents.